It's an important topic we're looking at today. Let me just commit this time to God in prayer and ask for his guidance and wisdom. Father, we thank you so much that you speak to us on all things in this world and in our faith through your word and by your spirit. And Father, we pray that we would have ears and hearts that are open to receive what you have to say to us today. Help us to be people who follow you and are lights in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's start with a definition, shall we? What is pornography? A literal translation of the word is graphic prostitution. From the word porn, meaning prostitution, and graphy, meaning writing. So written, it could be pictures, it can be words. It is graphic prostitution, and it's designed as a purpose of sexual arousal. What is the problem with pornography? Mark brought up an interesting issue as he introduced this morning. A lot of people don't have a problem with pornography. Why should we be talking about this, and why should we be talking about it in church? It is a big issue in our society. That's a good reason to talk about it as Christians. It affects our society in a big way. And we want to know what God has to say about this. So when we're in the world talking to people who are involved in this or involved in pornography or are dealing with pornography or have views on pornography, we want to know what God says about it, as we do about everything in our life. Is this really a big issue? Let me give you some statistics on how big an issue it is. Every second throughout the world, $3,075 approximately is spent on pornography. Every second, over $3,000. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. Every second, 28,000 users. In 2006, the latest stats I could find, Australia in 2006 was the fifth largest spenders on pornography in the world, spending over $2 billion a year. That's about $100 a person. That's 6 years ago. Can you imagine what it's at now? And the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography is age 11. By the age of 15, over 90% of children will have viewed pornography. It's an issue in our society. It's a big issue. What is the actual problem behind that, though? That was in the reading we had this morning. Romans 12, verse 1 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but in their thinking they became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." The world we live in is a dark place. The world we live in is full of wickedness and evil. People are unable to clearly see who God is because of that darkness. People are unable to clearly see. This is what Romans 1 is saying. This is the way the world is. Get used to it. This is the way it is. This is the way people are. It's dark. People don't see things clearly. They don't see God clearly. They don't see the truth clearly. When it comes to pornography, Christians have an important role to play in helping people see the lies and understand the truth. So we're going to have a look at those two things now. What is the lie? What is the truth when it comes to pornography? And I put it down to one thing. The lie, there's lots of lies you could say that are lies about pornography. I'll put it down to just this one. The lie of pornography is that it doesn't hurt anyone. It doesn't hurt anyone. It's the same lie that the devil used to tempt the man and the woman. He said to Eve, "You will not surely die if you eat the fruit from this tree." Questions God's command. God says, "If you eat of it, you'll surely die." The devil says, "You will not surely die if you eat of this fruit in the Garden of Eden." The devil says, his greatest lie, "It won't hurt. It doesn't matter. It won't affect anything. Don't worry about it. No one gets hurt." That's the great lie of sexual sin. Whether it's adultery or lust or fornication or pornography, the lie is, "Don't worry, no one will get hurt. There are no consequences." Christians have bought into this lie. The best statistics overwhelmingly say that between 30 to 50% of Christians use pornography on a regular basis. 30 to 50% of Christians. These are not just American statistics. I know there's Americans here. I only say that because most statistics are American. And people say, well, that's America, it's not us. You know, that is the world. And it's not just a Western problem, it is an Eastern problem. It's not just a male problem, it's a female problem as well. 30 to 50% of Christians. You know, in one study, they found that 28% of Bible-believing Christians, who are actually university students, 28% of Bible-believing Christians believe there was nothing wrong with pornography. Because it's a choice, right? This is the lie. It won't hurt anyone. It's a choice. People have the freedom to look at it or not look at it. People have the freedom to choose to be involved in pornographic films or literature. They have the choice. And therefore, if there's a choice, and since it's pretty much a lot of it's not illegal, it must be okay. No one gets hurt. But what does God say? I'm going to look at four truths of what God says about this. The first truth is this: God's intent. The truth of God's intent. Matthew chapter 19. In this passage, Jesus quotes from Genesis. He says, at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and He said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. God's intent, God's purpose for us as human beings is to express our sexuality in this sort of relationship between one man and one woman for life. Now, obviously, that doesn't always happen. We live in a world that's full of sinfulness and brokenness and hurt and pain. It doesn't always happen, but that's God's intent. That's God's desire for us in the way we are to express our sexuality. His desire is that it's expressed in a marriage relationship. Pornography is simply not the way God designed us to express our sexuality. It's not the way God intended for us to express our sexuality. God's desire is to express that sexuality in a marriage relationship. One man, one woman, not with graphic prostitution. That's the truth of God's intent. The second truth is the truth of lust. Pornography is lust, and lust is adultery. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus says, you've heard it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Pornography is designed to incite lust, to incite sexual desire. The purpose is to sexually arouse through lust rather than relationship, rather than intimacy. What Jesus says in these verses is that it's not about the act of adultery. It's not about actually sleeping with someone else. It's about the desire of our heart. It's a desire to express our sexuality outside of what God intends for us, of what God made us for, of what God knows is good for us. It's about the desire to express our sexuality. This goes for any sexual immorality outside of a marriage relationship. The third truth, the truth of damage. Past and present, future. Past, present, future, self and others. The third truth of pornography is that it defiles the marriage bed. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honoured by all, and a marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Sexual immorality, lust, adultery, any expression of sex outside of a marriage relationship between a man and a woman defiles the marriage bed. Now, that doesn't just mean for yourself or for the person involved. Sexual sin, adultery, lust, all those things, pornography, it defiles other people's marriage bed. When you commit adultery, you defile the marriage bed of the person you commit adultery with or yourself. But it also corrupts the future. And this is something we really need to help our children to understand, is that committing sexual immorality now, when they're before they're married, will defile their marriage bed in the future. Because sexual sin, although, and this is very important, although it can be forgiven, as sin is to be brought to God and to seek forgiveness, although we can be forgiven for sexual sin, it still impacts us. You cannot undo adultery. You cannot undo lust. the effects of those things will still affect you. You have an accident in a car, you can fix the car, but you can't take away the fact that it happened. And so this is what we really want our children to understand too. You know, you don't think this is going to affect your future relationships, but it will. Lust, adultery, fornication, sexual immorality affects the marriage bed, both present and future, both our own and others. What pornography does in the defiles the marriage bed is that it sets up for people a false and unrealistic, an unhealthy and a confusing model of sexuality for people. And this is why, if I can just say to the parents, this is why it's important to talk to your children about these things. Because the issue for kids a lot of the time now is that their parents don't talk to them about sex, and so they find out themselves. And the way they find out is by the age of 11 on the internet. And they are learning about their sexuality on the internet from an unhealthy and ungodly model. That's all they have, if we won't speak to them about it. We'll talk about that in a little bit more as well. The fourth truth is the truth of slavery. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 19. You read the context of it at home, it'll be helpful. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. A man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Pornography enslaves. Pornography masters people and it takes away freedom. So people pursue things like pornography to freely express their sexuality, but in fact it takes away freedom. It darkens our hearts. It's as all sin does. Well, the Bible talks about sin. It's the thing that darkens our world. It stops us from being able to see God clearly, to see His intent for us and His love for us clearly. It corrupts what is good. You know, even the people of this world understand this. So let me just turn to the world's wisdom as well. Research by psychologists today identify pornography as something which damages relationships, because primarily it sets up a fantasy world for us with unreal sexual expectations. It's not real. Do you know, in pornographic movies, 88% of the actual sex acts in pornography movies, professional porn movies, 88% of them involve physical aggression. Now that's not something that's normal. That's not something intended by God. 88% of sex in porn is violent. And when children aren't helped to understand their sexuality and to talk about sex with their parents, they will find it on the internet and they will find that 88% of sex is violent. When it's not meant to be. A bit more from the world, let me give you some wisdom from a serial killer. Ted Bundy. You ever familiar with that name? But he was interviewed the night before he died. And this is what he said about pornography. It's very interesting, fascinating interview. He says, "My experience with pornography that deals on a violent level with sexuality is that once you become addicted to it, I would keep looking for more potent, more explicit, more graphic kinds of material. Like an addiction, you keep craving something which is harder, something which gives you a greater sense of excitement, until you reach the point where the pornography only goes so far. It reaches that jumping off point where you begin to wonder if maybe actually doing it will give you that which is beyond just reading about it or looking at it." He recognised his addiction. He goes on in the interview to say, "I'm not blaming it. I made my own decisions and I did what I did and I take responsibility for that." But pornography was his addiction that led into harder and harder pornography. And led to that jumping off point where he felt the only way he could find satisfaction now was to actually do those things which involve violence. The world even understands the damage that pornography does in a relationship now and in the future. And so many of our children are having their first encounter. Most of them, if not all, will encounter pornography by the age of 15. What they're learning is a model of sexuality that's not intimate, that's not healthy, and it's not what God intended. So what's the response? What's a Christian response to this issue of pornography? Well, let me say, first of all, the response needs to be to confess and repent. There are 30 to 50% of Christians who are regularly involved in pornography. This is the first place we need to go. As difficult it is to admit, even had someone this morning say, that can't possibly be right. And let me tell you from my experience, 30 to 50% of Christians struggle with pornography. It's very true. A very true statistic. And it's not just men. It's women as well. The first response of a Christian is to confess our own sin, to repent. And 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, God forgives us and cleanses us. He cleanses us. It's the first step, and it's a really important one. If we're to help other people dealing with this issue, we must deal with it ourselves. Flee sin and pursue righteousness. That's the second one. Flee sin. Matthew chapter 5 verse 29, Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. He says, deal with sin seriously, in a serious way. Don't let anything hinder you. Those things in your life that cause you to sin, deal with them. Deal seriously with them. For those struggling with pornography, look, internet filters are helpful. There's great ones out there, Covenant Eyes and a lot of other ones that will, if you link on any inappropriate website, they'll send an email to a friend that you trust or your spouse to tell them that you've accessed a site that's not... That sort of accountability is easy to get on the internet now and well worth the money, but you know that's not going to stop your addiction to porn. We need to deal seriously with it. For parents and grandparents, simple things, I'm sure you know these already, but to have the computer where it can always be seen. You know, kids aren't necessarily looking for pornography. But you know, even game sites will link them to things that are serious, hardcore pornography. Our computers are the point of access now everywhere in our house, they can have them. Think seriously about where the computers in your home are. When you have other children over, do you know what they're doing on the computer? It only takes one click. And we need to take that seriously. If we're going to have our children engaged in the technology, we need to take the responsibility as well. As only the other week, I was having this discussion with one of my kids to say, now they've got an email account, which we just found out about, their school set up for them without telling us. There you go. Now you've got an email account, they get other kids sending them stuff on their email. And so what do we say to them? I have your password and I will look at it any time I need to. I'll look at any one of your emails when I need to. And that is your right as a child to be protected by me caring for you that way. Your right as a child is to be protected. And don't ever forget that. As a child, as a parent, as a grandparent, children have the right to be protected. We have the right to protect them in what way is healthy for them. That's really important. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about husbands and wives. He talks about husbands and wives caring for each other, knowing each other's needs, that is sexual needs as well, that our bodies do not belong to ourselves alone, but to our spouse. To care about each other's needs, to talk about things that we struggle with. It's important to seek help as a couple if you're unable to work through issues, or if you're someone who's in a marriage and you're not able to talk about your issues, you need to seek help somewhere else if you can't talk to your spouse. What studies in the world also find, without a doubt, is that pornography, addiction to pornography, robs your spouse of sexual intimacy. In one study where they asked, all the men in the study were there because they had porn addictions, all of the women, all the spouses said that it had affected their sexual intimacy. So it sets up this false world for people that robs us of the intimacy that God desires in our relationships. It corrupts, it darkens. If you're not married, there are a lot of other issues to consider. We've got a series at the end of next term where we'll be talking about sexuality for married and non-married people. And so we'll be talking about it more. But the bottom line is really, whether you're married or not, is that pornography is not what God desires. It's not the way God desires us to express our sexuality. that is not God's desire for us to express our sexuality in that way. What's another way to respond as a Christian? The final way is this: do not judge. It's important as Christians to talk to each other about things like pornography, to understand the dangers ourselves, and to help those around us deal with it. If we don't talk to each other about sexuality and things like that that are difficult, where will we go? Who do we talk to? But it also helps us when we talk about these things to understand where the world is at. The darkness that the world lives in. To be able to speak to the world, to speak to people, as Mark opened up, people all throughout our communities. There are many people who find no problem with pornography at all. When I was working in the real world, before I was in ministry, when I was working there, I knew several of my peers who openly watched pornographic movies with their spouse and had libraries of them to swap with each other. Had no problem with any of that. Need to understand the darkness that people are living in to not see the lie. That this is not the way God intended us to live. Romans 2:1 says this: "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." Romans 2 reminds us that we too are guilty of all sorts of things. 30 to 50% of Christians regularly use pornography. We are guilty. So we cannot pass judgment on the people of this world. People living in darkness don't need judgment, they need Jesus. They need to hear the truth of the gospel. Let me give you two ways to help hear the truth of the gospel. Number one, live as Jesus calls you to live. Live as Jesus calls you to live. Confess and repent your sin, turn to Him and follow His way and be a light to people. Show them a healthy marriage, a healthy sexual relationship, or a healthy life of abstinence. Show people what it means to live as Jesus' followers. Number two is to love the people of this world. To love people who are caught in the lies, not only of pornography, but the lies of the darkness of all this world. To love them not in a way that judges, but in a way that cares for them and wants them to know the truth. Romans gives us a great picture of the reality of this world. It is a world of darkness, and we have the light. We have the truth of God. That's a great responsibility. Let me pray now, and let me just pray that God will help us to live as people of light. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, that You speak to us on all things that are important in this world. Father, we thank You that You speak with such authority and with such clarity, and we pray that by Your Holy Spirit You will convict us of these areas in our life that need attention, and help us to see those around us who are in great need, who are living in darkness, who have believed the lie that these things don't matter, that these things don't hurt anyone. Lord, help us through our love and through our life to show the truth of the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.